Thank you, Jerry. How many of you know what the word eschatology means? Eschatology. It's a very popular word this day and time. A lot of folks study eschatology because it's important. And that will be your test, is to go home and look up the word eschatology and know it when you come back Sunday afternoon. No, I'm just kidding. I'll tell you what eschatology is. Eschatology is what's known as a study of the last things, the end things, the end times, however you want to put it. The study of what the Bible tells us about the last days. We want to start tonight on a few sermons in series form about eschatology, about the study of the end times. Do you understand the last days? Do you understand all that you need to know about the end times and about what the Bible says about the end times? I would dare say most of us don't. But we'll start tonight looking at this study of eschatology and run through a few Sunday evenings. I'll encourage you to be here and make some notes. The Bible says a lot about the last days, words and phrases similar to the last days. In eschatology, you have the study of dispensational premillennialism. That's hard enough to say, much less understand. You have the study of historic premillennialism. You have postmillennialism, amillennialism, and a lot of other isms that may or may not, in most cases, are not the way things really are or the way things will be. Some confusion is due to this phrase, the last days, and how that latter days or last days is interpreted from Scripture. So let's take a look tonight at some of those passages. I'm not going to take time to read every verse, although maybe we should get an understanding of what the verses talk about, Old Testament and New, because the Old Testament speaks about as much or even more about the latter times or the latter days as the New Testament does. In fact, if you look at Genesis chapter 49 in verse 1, you have Jacob telling his sons about things to come. In fact, Genesis 49:1, and Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather together that I might tell you what shall befall you in the last days." Now, if you understand that, he's talking to his physical sons, those that he gave birth to, or his wife gave birth to. What will befall them in the last days? Surely he didn't think that they were going to live until the end times or last days of the end times. So we understand already that the last days, when he spoke it, really doesn't go until our time, because his sons would have cared less what was going to befall them in our time. They would have already been dead and gone. In Numbers chapter 24 and verse 14, "And now indeed I am going to my people. Come and I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days." We have Moses speaking to Israel, even in the wilderness, before they gained the promised land. He uses the phrase, the latter days. Now, all these translations are coming out of my New King James. Your various translations might have last days, latter days, those days, other variable translations of those particular words. Deuteronomy 31 and 29, we have, and also in 4 and verse 30, Moses again to Israel in the wilderness. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2, we have Isaiah foretelling the establishment of the Lord's house. Jeremiah 23 and verse 20, Jeremiah pronouncing with reference to Judah, Moab, and Elam, woes that would take place for them in the latter days. We have in Ezekiel 38 and verse 16, "You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land." Another phrase in Ezekiel's time of the latter days. Daniel, Hosea, Micah, seems like almost all the prophets, if not all the prophets, use this term or this phrase multiple times in the latter days. In the Hebrew, and I can't pronounce the Hebrew word, so I'm not even going to try it. It's about this long. But it can refer to the end of an age or days in the future. Doesn't mean what we understand as the latter days or the last days. Daniel 10:14, there's a phrase there. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Daniel saw a vision in this particular situation, a man clothed in white whose face or skin was like light, and gave him this vision and told him of things that would come upon the people in the latter days. This reference actually is to the Messiah, to the time when the Messiah would come. Some of the references in Old Testament literature or Old Testament scripture are referencing the Messiah when they speak of the latter days. Others could be just at the end of that time period. If, Moses talking to Israel in the wilderness about the latter days, that would be the time before they entered into the promised land. Another time he speaks of the latter days in reference to the time after they entered the promised land. So it gets confusing if you look at these or you read these passages, and they all have that same phrase, the latter days. And it's obvious when you look that they're talking about different time periods or different time frames, different amount of time. What about the New Testament then? Let's look at some of these passages together. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. Acts chapter 2, actually verse 17, excuse me. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Familiar passage to us, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. We know that Peter, in that sermon on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, quoting the prophet Joel in that particular part of his sermon, it shall come to pass in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, another passage that uses something similar, actually the same phrase, but know this, in the last days perilous times will come, Paul would write to Timothy. In the Hebrew letter, chapter 1 and verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 1 says that God at various times has spoken to the fathers through the prophets, or by the prophets. Verse 2 says, has in these last days spoken to us by Jesus, his Son. James chapter 5 and verse 3. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be witnessed against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Same phrase. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, speaking of those in the wilderness, and were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. A little twist on the last days, whom the ends of the ages have come. Same meaning. And there are other scriptures we could quote. Hebrew chapter 9, verse 6. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, talking about the fact that Jesus was not a Levitical priest or of that lineage, because he would have had to suffer more than once. And then he goes on to say, but now at once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And one other passage, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, little children, it is the last hour. John takes it a little bit closer to the finality of things. It is the last hour. Meaning that the time was closer to the end of things. So what is this? What do these mean to us? In this study of eschatology, it's trying to establish what the last days really are. What is the last hour? What is the final days? From the New Testament, we learned that we're living in the last days now, aren't we? That's a pretty safe understanding. The last days, if the Hebrew writer says in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, we're still living in that dispensation. A dispensation is just a time period of a certain covenant. You have the Old Testament dispensation, you have the New Testament dispensation, Old Covenant, New Covenant. So dispensation is not a tough word, it's just that period of time that New Covenant takes place. So in this dispensation of the Christianity, this is the last days. There will be not another dispensation or another covenant, as far as we know from Scripture, that will take place after the New Testament covenant will take place. So we're safe to say that we're in the last days now, and these last days have been going on for about a little over 2,000 years since Jesus was born, since Jesus became his death, burial, resurrection, like we talked about this morning, and the church was established. We're in that dispensation now. We're in those final days and have been. That sounds a little bit discouraging, doesn't it? If these are the last days, or were they coming up tomorrow, the next day, and all that, is it the end of things right around the corner? Well, it could be. Who knows? God didn't give us that information about when those final days would be over. But at some point, if we understand the idea that if you have a set of days that are the final days or the last times, at some point, that's going to end. It's going to be final. There will be no more days. Not in this lifetime. That doesn't worry us, or it shouldn't. Turn with me over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Although this is an important study, one we should understand about this eschatology, it shouldn't cause us any concern if we're God's children in the way we should be God's children. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's go down to about verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So first of all, just because it's the last days, how long can the last days last? As long as God wants them to. Time is inconsequential to God. He doesn't count time the way we count time. Peter says, days like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. It reminds me of the fellow in his prayer. He said he wanted to know that if the Lord could have him understand that. And he said, well, it's kind of like pennies and dollars. He said, to me, it's all the same thing. $1 million is just like a penny. And he said, well, what about this time thing? He says, well, 1,000 years is just like a little while to me. And he finished his prayer. He said, well, Lord, could I have $1 million? He said, in a minute. It's inconsequential to God, a time frame. We think of time in very finite times. 1 minute, 1 hour, one 24-hour period is our day. God doesn't see it like that. We understand those things. So this last days can last. The end of the age is upon us. It could be another 1,000 years if that's what God wants. We're going to continue, like I said, in this study, and we're going to talk about the last day, the end of the age, and some of those other phrases. We're going to also talk about the coming of the Lord, the second coming. We'll talk about the resurrection of the dead that's mentioned that will take place on that final day. We'll talk about the judgment of mankind, which will take place after that. We'll talk about the new heavens and new earth. It's all involved in the study of eschatology. It might sound boring at this point. It might sound kind of redundant that we know some of these things. Well, why go back studying them some more? Well, because we need to be more familiar with them. What if in your encountering folks in the real world out there, you encounter somebody that talks about, oh, the last days are going to happen, it's going to be Armageddon and all this other stuff, and there's going to be Gog and Magog going to have a battle, and you know that's not right. That's not what the Bible teaches us, but that's what the dispensationalists, the premillennialists, the amillennialists, that's not even easy to say. But there's so much varied teaching out there, it's better for us to know what the Bible actually teaches us, what it actually tells us about all these isms than having to be blindsided by a conversation when I don't know how to get involved in that conversation because I don't know what I'm talking about. We'll give you some information and give you some literature that can help you through a discussion. If you have, anybody ever been in a discussion like that with somebody about the last days, about the end times? Everybody heard anybody talk about that and you didn't want to get involved because you weren't sure? That's not the way we ought to be. Will we be ready for the last day? Is where we ought to be focusing our thoughts and our work and our efforts is to be ready for that last day whenever it does come. If it comes before we die, bring it. So be it. We should be ready for it. If it comes after we're dead and gone from this life, another 1,000 years from now, so be it. Let's get those who come after us prepared and do our best to inform them of what will happen at the end of the last days. Jerry Sosin, the song for us tonight, Oh Why Not Tonight. It's a song of encouragement. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to the invitation, or if you need to respond for a reason that maybe there's something on your mind or on your heart that you need some assistance with from the congregation, if you need prayers, if you need study, whatever it may be. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to understand what baptism is and how to go about obtaining forgiveness of sin, then let that be known. And the question is a great question. Oh, why not tonight? While we stand together and while we sing.